And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I swore a solemn vow.
My family was really intense.
I was invited to a party.
Totally different.
And I never was
I come from a large Irish, Italian, Catholic family.
All right, it is time once again to get very close to your radio. It is Wednesday night. It is time for stories from Exfabula. I'm Bruce Winter. Leah Delaney, the co-founder of Exfabula, is here, as she is every Wednesday night, bringing in her big bag stories, live stories of real Milwaukee people telling real stories. Good to see you again.
Hello. You know, I just realized something. We kind of match tonight. Look at this.
Hey, we're both kind of salmon-y.
We are kind of salmon-y. And I've got this crazy cold, so welcome to that.
Hey, welcome to late summer and, you know, yeah. Nostrilitis. I don't know.
Exactly. But enough about my nostrils.
Exfabula, Leah, is our very own local storytelling, story slam thing that goes on every month and extra events as well. And you've got an extra one coming up this Sunday.
Yes, we do, my friend. So normally what we do with Exfabula is we invite Milwaukeeans to show up at a location. We give you a theme, and we want you to create your 5-minute real true personal story based on that theme. And then you throw your name in the hat, and we draw you randomly, and then there's a really good chance you'd get up on stage to tell that 5-minute real true personal story. But what we're doing with this particular event is something a little bit different. This past season, we started a new series called Secret Fabula, where we actually get the stories from the actual community building of sorts. Mm. This is a members-only event. And the first one we did was over at Bryant's Cocktail Lounge, which was built in 1938. And you can imagine that a lot of stories have come from Bryant's Cocktail Lounge. And we had a really, really great time. And it was, you know, very small captive audience. It was a good time. But this time, this coming Sunday, we're having another Secret Fabula at The Pitch Project, which is a brand new gallery. It's hot and fresh. It's right on 5th Street, the former Bucket Works place. Mm-hmm. And we're gathering a handful of well-known Milwaukee artists to tell us their stories about the creative process that they've gone through, whether it's like the trials or the tribulations of their creative process. So it's going to be fantastic.
So you have to be an Exfabula member to attend the Secret Fabula show. So membership, yes, has its privileges then.
Oh, most definitely.
And where can I find information on how to become a member?
Well, you can go to exfabula.com. Thanks for asking. And that's E-X-F as in Frank, A-B as in bully, ULA.com.
All right, let's press ahead with tonight's stories.
Yes. Okay, so in celebration of the fact that we're having another Secret Fabula, and because it's Milwaukee artists, I actually dug into the canon of stories over the past few years and found a couple from a couple of Milwaukee artists themselves who just came to one of our random Story Slam events. So we're going to start out tonight with one of the co-founders of the Hinterlands Group. His name is Richard Newman, and he told a story at our Stranger from a Strange Land Story Slam a few years ago. It's fair. Yeah. Okay. Go. Just start.
Let's just do it. Okay.
So I'm in Spain. I'm with a theater company, Double Edge Theater. I'm supposed to plug their summer intensive. So if you guys want some training, look up Double Edge Theater. So anyway, Double Edge Theater, we're touring with this performance. It's called The Unpossessed. It's a Quixote piece. And this piece has a lot of like circus elements. It has like these big German wheels that we spin in, and these big metal staircases, and it's a big set. And we've gotten it to Spain, and our next stop is Poland, and we booked a flight with Alitalia, which is the worst airline in the history of the world. I mean, this is a terrible, terrible airline. We get our stuff. They tell us we can't take our set, even though they've told us we could take our set. So, and we have these wheels, like they're broken up. I mean, this is like supposedly my luggage, right? It's like a giant metal wheel that's wrapped up in saran wrap and like half of a staircase. And I'm like, yep, just me and these two bags, please. So they're not having it, you know, and so we have to send half of it with LOT, which is this Polish shipping company, right? And so we're like, okay. And so I get my half of a German wheel and like my cello on, right? And you know, we're on our way, and we have a layover in Milan, and we arrive in Milan, and with the Alitalia, okay, first of all, I get a coffee on Alitalia. I think they serve me like a fish broth, Like, I'm actually think it was like bouillon cubes and some hot water. And I'm drinking it, but I'm going to drink this coffee, you know, because I need this coffee. So we get there and, you know, whatever, whatever. And we find out that actually our connecting flight is at another airport, okay, which is an hour and a half away. And there's no transportation between the airlines other than city bus. And so what we have, we're like trying to talk to these people, like we're trying to get on a bus. I have these things, right, and I have my cello, and we have like these massive items, and no one's taking us on a bus. So we're panicking. We don't want, it's a 3-hour connection, and it's an hour and a half drive. So we don't know what we're going to do. Suddenly, Scott Fellis, bless you, Scott, he took like an Italian class in 9th grade, one semester. And suddenly, through like this miracle, right, this desperate need to be able to speak, he remembers everything. And suddenly he's talking, I mean, kind of fluently, at least it seems like it, you know, in Italian, talking to these people, and he manages to get these two mafia guys who agree to take us for like 300 euros, okay, from there to there. And, you know, I end up riding with a guy. They all go in the limo, and I ride in the van with a guy. And my cello in this set and everything else, you know. So I get in the van, and I'm going with it. And I'm like, this guy might just kill me. You know, like, he might just kill me and take my metal wheel and my cello and leave me on the side of the road, you know. So I'm, like, really worried. And he decides they go on the highway. He drives to the center of Milan, like, cutting the scooters off, you know, and, like, not stopping at the lights. I'm terrified. And, you know, I actually hate gum because I have TMJ, you know. And so he offers me gum. And I'm like, thank you, I'll take the gum, you know. And if he had offered me a cigar, I would have taken the cigar, you know. It doesn't matter what the guy was going to give me. Finally, we get to the airport. We have like a few minutes to spare. We all get there. We get on the flight. We get to Poland. They have lost every piece of our set. It is all gone, right? So our next touring spot is 5 hours away on this farm, Garzynica. It's like a castle, right? And we're performing at this castle in Poland. And we get there, and we don't have our set. So we start adapting the performance. And then the next day, it's 5 hours away, they send me back with Manuel, who's Argentinian. And so we're going. He's okay with English, not great. And our bus driver doesn't speak any English. You know, we don't speak Polish. And they send us, like, some people in the company spoke Polish, but they didn't send those people. They send us. And they send us to the airport, right? And we're talking to a lot, because also the other freight people, they lost their stuff too. Everyone lost their stuff. So I'm trying to talk to a lot about, you know, our set, and they're not having it. And, you know, we can't figure this out. And then now we have to talk to Alitalia, and we go. And there's no way to get to them, you know, because, like, the baggage people are behind customs. So Manuel looks at me, and because the door's open, right? Like, the door's open and people are coming through. He goes, I'm going to make a run for it. And I said, no, Manuel, you can't do that. It's an international airport. You know, we can't run through. He goes. And so I just go with him. You know, I just follow him. And as we run through there, somehow the security guard who's rushing at us to stop us, he somehow manages to come up with the words in Polish for baggage claim. Okay, and he just starts yelling baggage claim at him. And the guy's so bewildered, you know, like, what would we even do, that he lets us through, you know. And, I mean, we could have been anyone, you know. But they don't have it, you know, and they didn't have it. We went back to Garzynica, so we did our performance. It's supposed to be an indoor circus performance. We did it as a kind of pastoral, outdoor, traveling spectacle. And there are these wild dogs that followed us everywhere. And, you know, there was, like, supposed to be this wheel, but we had, like, a wheelbarrow, you know, instead. So, I mean, that's kind of how it turned out. And eventually we did get our set back in Szczecin, Poland. Szczecin's really interesting. That's another story. But we didn't get this one box of things. And we didn't get it back for, like, another 6 months. And we did. It was our puppet box, right? The puppets had been all the way to the United Arab Emirates. So those puppets were truly strangers in a strange land, indeed. Thank you.
That was Richard Newman with his gigantic iron wheel of a set piece traveling with his stranger from a strange land. Like, you'd probably have experience traveling with set pieces internationally, right?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Now, we're listening to stories from Ex Fabula, and if you're not familiar with Ex Fabula, it is a monthly, practically, I call it just a social night out of storytelling, because you're there with friends and neighbors and people from the community, and they're telling real stories about their lives.
Yeah.
Unscripted.
Yeah, unscripted. And it's funny, stranger from a strange land. You go to one of our events, you're going to meet a stranger just by virtue of hearing stories and people talking with each other. There's many a time where I see people in the audience turning around back in their seats, and they're chatting. It's a community building story slam thing. It's good stuff, definitely.
We got one more for tonight.
Oh, yes, we do. So this one is from a well-known artist. Her name is Anja Natanja, and she's telling her emergency story from our slam a few years ago itself. This one has to do with roommates and buggity bugs.
All right, let's hear it.
So this is a story of a prolonged emergency. It started... I decided to move because my longtime, wonderful, best friend roommate decided to move in with a fiancé and a three-legged cat. So I needed a new place to live because I decided that the cockroach poison in the cupboards in the kitchen would probably eventually kill me. Especially since I have an incredibly sensitive immune system. I have 35 allergies, celiac disease. I'm allergic to every single kind of shampoo there is. I only use Dr. Bronner's, I'd say, about once a week. But anyways, so I moved into this new apartment house with this lady, Tammy, who I had never really known. She was like a friend of a friend, and I decided this was going to be great because I was going to learn how to live with a dog because I've always been afraid of dogs, and I thought this would be good. She had a husky, which is an Alaskan sled dog, and I don't think it's ever gotten a bath in its life. So about midway through the month, I was realizing I was living in a house that smelled like a wolf cave. Like, there would be a pack of wolves that would just be urinating on the walls all day long. That was pretty much what the house smelled like. And then my roommate, she always complained about her sinuses and how she had to get incredibly expensive surgeries on her sinuses because they just wouldn't come clear. And I looked at the walls and they had black mold on them, which really isn't that unusual in Kansas City where I was living at the time because it's a very moist place. But all of a sudden, I started developing this kind of so about 3 days after I had thrown out all of my cardboard boxes from moving, I decided, I'm going to get on the bicycle and I'm going to go to all the good old dumpsters all over the place and get boxes. And I moved and I got to this new apartment, and I had a $7 an hour job at the time at a puppet theater. Anyways, work was intermittent. So I got my own place. I was like, I'm not going to deal with roommates or dogs or cockroach poison anymore. So I settled down for the first night in my one-bedroom apartment at the Highland, which is what it was called. And when I woke up in the morning, my stomach was itchy. And I realized I had just moved into a building with fleas. And I didn't have any resolve left to move anymore. And this was just awful. And I have all those allergies and stuff, so I wasn't going to bomb the apartment. So I started doing research, and I doused the carpet with lavender and chamomile and pennyroyal, and still the fleas were biting me. So then I decided I would move my bed every day and trick the fleas. So I would go to sleep on my bed in a new spot every night. And then I would still get a bite occasionally, so I made a flea stick. I made a flea out of pipe cleaners on a stick, and I started making a flea song, an anti-flea song, and I would go through the apartment singing, flea free, flea free, free, flea free. And I also invested in a vacuum cleaner, which involved a bus trip to the thrift store. And then I got off and I bought my vacuum cleaner, and I also got a lamp, like a big lamp, and I took the bus back, but the bus wasn't coming for another hour, and I had a vacuum cleaner and a lamp, so I decided to take this other bus, went down Drew Street, which is the most ghetto street in Kansas City. Maybe that's not a nice term, but anyways, it's the street where all the prostitutes are after 7 p.m., so anyways, I got on this bus, and I was being stared at, and I got flustered, and I got off about 8 blocks too early. And in Kansas City, the blocks are about 5 times larger than the blocks in Milwaukee because it's the Wild West. So I had to walk for about 20 blocks with a stand-up vacuum cleaner and a stand-up lamp. And finally, I got to my apartment. I plugged in the vacuum cleaner, and it broke. But 3 months later, I got rid of fleas with my flea song and chamomile and lavender. And I just want to tell you this because I know many of you are dealing with bed bugs, and I won't touch you tonight. But you can get through it. It is a prolonged emergency, and we're all in it together. Thank you.
And that was Anja Natanja with her emergency story from our Story Slam back in 2011, I believe it was.
We're listening to Stories from Xfabula on WUW. When we do this on Wednesday nights, Leah Delaney, the co-founder of Xfabula, drops in, brings some stories with her, and we share them on the air every Wednesday night at this time at the 9 o'clock hour. And before we let you go, we'll remind people that there is a special secret Fabula coming up this Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that if you are an Xfabula member, you are on the guest list, I guess you can say. And yep, if you're not a member, you may become one. How?
You just go to xfabula.com and sign up. We have different types of memberships there just waiting for you. Just waiting for you.
All right. And now this building that this is going to be held on Fifth Street, you said,
yeah,
the former Bucket Works. I think the building could tell stories.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's a big puppet.
If these walls could talk, in other words, right?
Right, right. Well, you know, coincidentally, before we shut this down, the person who occupies part of that building, Mike Brenner, used to own and run Hotcakes Gallery, which is a really great gallery back in the day, and he shut that down, and now he opened up the brewing, Brenner Brewing next door, and he's going to be telling a story at our event, among other people like Adam Carr, and it'll be a really interesting night of stories, definitely.
Can't wait to hear them.
Excellent. Well, I may bring them with me next time. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. Leah, thank you, as always.
Thank you, Bruce.